I'm going to open this morning with our prayer of consecration. Let us go before the Lord. Father, we thank you for our time of consecration. We thank you for your word. We thank you for accepting our gifts and our prayers. And Lord, we pray that we might be those who have ears to hear and eyes to see the great truths that you will present this morning through your word. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. My morning text is a little bit longer than usual, so I thought I would give you the courtesy of sitting rather than standing through it all, so I didn't get those looks toward the end. We're not supposed to have favorite chapters, but Daniel chapter 2 is certainly one of my favorite chapters in all of the scriptures. And we're going to read that this morning to set the table, so to speak, for our consideration of the commissioning or our being sent out into the world. Hear now the word of the Lord from Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, which, of course, takes place after the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had had a terrifying dream and had gone to his prophets and magicians and soothsayers, anybody else he could find, and said, I want to know what this dream means. And, of course, they were all willing to give him an interpretation as soon as he told them the dream. But he said, no, I want to be sure I'm getting the right interpretation. So you tell me the dream and then tell me what it means. And, of course, they all said, that's impossible. It can't be done. And he was going to execute them all. And Daniel hears this and he goes before the Lord in prayer and the Lord answers him. And that's where we pick it up in verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in darkness, and light dwells in him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what was asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. And in verse 26, we see him before the king, and the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold. Its chest and arms were made of silver. Its belly and thighs of bronze. Its legs of iron. Its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And you watched while a stone cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. And then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with the ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. And as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seeds of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mingle with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. So that's my introduction to commissioning, which is what we will consider this week in our final message on worship. It's a portion of the service that can be seen in some ways as we do the Advent season that we begin celebrating next week. We should see our commissioning both as the end and a beginning. Now, most churches do end their service with a benediction or a blessing for their people, which should be seen as the end of the service. That's our formal end of worship. But we need to recognize that it is now the beginning of a new week to serve the King of Kings. To see the importance of our commissioning, I think it's important that we step back and see the big picture of where history is going, which is why I chose Daniel 2 as our morning text. You see, God is always future-oriented. In your order of worship, I've put a copy of the chart that's been out there for several weeks, which sort of goes through the things we've been studying about worship, because our worship follows a covenantal pattern that we often see in the Scriptures. And if you look quickly at it, you'll see on the left side that that pattern takes God taking hold of something or someone. He then changes or reorders them. He speaks instructions to them to bring about maturity. God then confirms the covenant sign with seals and signs, often with a meal. And finally, God looks to the future for the purpose for which he takes hold of someone or something else. And you can see that all the way through. You can study that later. But I want us to just consider the bottom, the commissioning part. Because as we look across the bottom, we see that with creation in general and Adam specifically, the purpose was to have the earth full of godly people that would be mature stewards of God's creation. With the calling of Abraham, we note that he was to be fruitful and become a blessing to many nations. God's people were delivered out of Egypt so that they could go and possess the promised land. The nation of Israel was restored after the Babylonian captivity so that they could prepare for the coming of Messiah, that stone cut without hands, who would bring a kingdom that would fill the earth as Daniel's interpretation of the dream foretold. The whole purpose of the new covenant is given to us in the Great Commission, which is why we end our service with a commissioning and a blessing from God. And so, as I said, like the Advent season, the commissioning portion of our service is both the end and the beginning. It is the proper end of our covenant renewal worship service. And it is the beginning of our new week of service in the kingdom of Jesus as it fills the whole earth. We have gathered together in response to God's call. We have remembered that we belong to Jesus, wearing his white robe of righteousness as we hear our forgiveness. We have matured in our faith as we have been instructed by God's word and brought forth our worship in gifts and prayers. We've been given food and drink indeed as we partook of the body and blood of Christ at his table. And now God desires to bless us with much fruit in the work of his kingdom. Our covenant God has a plan and a purpose for us experiencing such covenant renewal worship each and every week. Through it, we are properly prepared to serve his purposes. Following with my military themes, I titled today, Sent into Battle. We are sent forth to wage God's battles. This is why we at here at Church of the King do more than just say a benediction to bring an end to our service. We have celebrated the Lord's table together, and we are reminded about how important our commission really is when we then take another reading from the Scriptures. Often it's the Great Commission itself, but we also use other references relating to the expansion of God's kingdom, which is what should be on our minds as we leave. We then read together another portion of the Scriptures and sing a psalm or one of the great hymns of the faith, like A Mighty Fortress Is Our God or Joy to the World, focusing again on our commissioning, our being sent forth. One last time, we are allowing the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to shape and mold our thinking as we prepare to go forth. And it is important that we consider carefully what we are hearing and reading, and that we once again sing heartily before our covenant God. We need to stay focused right to the end, being taught about what we're being taught, not distracted by thinking, wow, it's time to go to the restroom, or I really am ready for that lunch that I smell out back. That we need to just stay focused. And again, we do so because this is God's word that we're reading. That powerful sword that is wielded by the very Spirit of God, and we are singing in the presence of God, lifting up our right worship. We then pronounce the benediction, the blessing that God gives to his people, often using Aaron's blessing or one of the many blessings that we find in the New Testament. This is a blessing from God, something that we are to receive. And you'll see some of us hold our hands out as if we're receiving a blessing, and that's very appropriate. Again, we've talked about how the body is often involved when we kneel or stand or raise our hands. And even here, it's something to think about, receiving the blessing from God. And finally, just as we always begin with the same song of adoration, O Worship the King, we end our services here at Church of the King with the singing of Simeon's song and the doxology. We understand that many of the songs that we sing in the service can be difficult for our younger members, and we do purpose to provide places where they can heartily sing along. If we sing the same song every week, it doesn't take long for the children to learn it. And parents, you should be diligent in making sure that they know at least those songs and that they participate. It's important. Simeon's song, they should learn, is a fitting way to end our covenant renewal worship service. God had promised Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so in Luke's account, we read that Simeon took up Jesus in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, just as he'd promised. For my eyes have seen, not a little six-week-old baby. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. We are prepared to go forth and serve Jesus and we should go forth and serve him with the same faith that Simeon had, as he believed that that tiny six-week-old baby could and would bring such momentous changes to a very needy world. So with our hands once again lifted up, we proclaim with Simeon's faith, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. We begin and end our service on a Trinitarian note. As it was in the beginning, is now, and evermore shall be, world without end. Amen. We join with the saints who have gone before and the host of heaven in declaring the glory of God with the new song, believing that God has a plan and a purpose for all of history. And again, we see our commissioning as both the end and the beginning. We have concluded the divine worship service, and now we are ready to begin our divine service to God throughout the week. As we've reviewed each portion of our worship service here at Church of the King, we have asked if we honestly believe the reality of what is taking place. We were challenged to believe that God really calls us into his presence to renew covenant with us each Lord's Day. We were challenged to believe that Jesus really came to save his people from their sins, and that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We were challenged to believe that God really changes us with his word, with the word of God, that sword wielded by the Spirit of God to shape and mature us for right service. And we demonstrate our faith in that as we respond with singing and praying and the giving of our gifts. We were challenged last week to believe that Jesus is really present with us at his table, where we feast together with God, receiving food and drink indeed. And now we are challenged to really believe that God is moving in history and that he wants us to be a part of his work. This is why I chose that long passage from Daniel 2 to sort of set the table this morning. We heard Daniel plainly explain that God had revealed secrets of his plan that span thousands of years of history. He outlines the history of great empires, beginning with the Babylonian Empire and King Nebuchadnezzar as the golden head. And then we saw the Persian Empire as a chest of silver, followed by the Greek conquest over all the world that were the thighs of bronze, and finally the early and the later Roman Empire as legs of iron and then feet and toes mixed with clay as a divided kingdom. As the king dreamed on, a stone cut without hands destroyed those kingdoms, leaving only chaff, dust to blow in the wind. But that uncut stone, who was Christ Jesus himself, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So there is no doubt about what the dream means. Daniel was given the interpretation, which we read at verse 44. And in those days, these kings of heaven will, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Now, there's a lot of confusion today about this dream, so let me ask the children to help us. We need to understand it plainly. What was established when Jesus came? What did we hear? Should I read it again? The days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. So what does that mean? Does that mean that God set up a kingdom? Yeah, it does. How big will this kingdom become? The whole world. The whole world. A kingdom that's going to fill the earth. Now, there are many today in the church who argue that, oh, that stuff, that's all in the future. We don't have time for that. It's some sort of millennial reign, Jesus sitting in Jerusalem. But their problem is it doesn't fit what is plainly taught in the scripture, and it greatly impacts how we go forth serving. You see, we know that God's command to Adam and Eve was to fill the earth and to take dominion. And that mandate, of course, was spoiled by sin. But God made it pretty clear that he hadn't given up on that plan for his kingdom when he says again to Noah after the flood, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We see a theme here, a full earth. We've often cited the promises to Abraham that his descendants would bless a few of the nations of... No, it says he will bless all the nations of the earth. We know the promises to King David that his son would rule the earth from a throne, and how Jesus explained that that could only be speaking of him. And I wouldn't begin to have the time this morning to review the many parables and teachings of Jesus during his earthly ministry where he explained the growth of his kingdom, or to review how we studied the book of Acts, seeing that it was the story of how the Spirit of God is carrying out God's plan to have the kingdom of Jesus fill the earth. But we can see how the Apostle Paul explains to the church at Corinth that what Daniel had said about the growth of the kingdom was in fact certain and sure, just as he said it was. Because we read in 1 Corinthians 15:24, that great resurrection chapter, these words. Then comes the end when he, Jesus, delivers the kingdom to God the Father. How big do you think the kingdom will be at that point? Big. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Not some enemies, not the really bad enemies, all enemies. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Both Daniel and Paul plainly teach that the kingdom of Jesus began at his first coming, which we will celebrate in the coming weeks. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. He was raised in power and ascended to God's right hand, and now serves as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Spirit was sent at Pentecost to comfort and empower us as his body of Christ, and we carry out the great commission that our Lord gave us. Something that is so familiar that we often don't think about what it says. Go therefore, says Jesus, and make disciples of some nations. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As I often say, what a promise and what a commission. We're left with two important questions. First, do we believe Daniel's dream to be certain and sure? And that the Great Commission actually calls the church to fill the earth with the kingdom of Jesus? I trust that we've made the case from the scriptures that we can only answer that with a resounding yes. So secondly, We have to ask, if we believe this, how do we know what our role in God's great plan is going to be? As we've often pointed out from this pulpit, the Great Commission is a pretty tall order, but one that is accomplished by God as he uses simple acts of obedience. God uses means. Just as we would walk a mile one step at a time. If you stand at the beginning of that mile and go, I can't jump that far. I don't have a car. I don't have an airplane. How am I going to walk that mile? The simple answer is you take a step, and then you take the next step, and after you take 5,000 steps, you're there. But it's one step at a time. And we have to remember and believe the great promises of God. And then we are to simply trust and obey. We are to believe that God is really taking history where he wants it to go. That the earth will be filled with the kingdom of his Son. And we are to believe that he has a role for us to play in the advancement of that kingdom. Something that Nate Wilson often points out is something that we should consider at times. He asked a very probing and somewhat humbling question at one of the conferences. He said, okay, so God has this story. It's his story. We should step back every once in a while and decide whether we like our character in his story. That's pretty humbling. But it also can be very encouraging because we can always do better. That's what this right worship is about. So just how do we trust and obey in the week ahead? We're being sent forth as God's army. Well, Jesus rightly brought everything back to the two great commandments which he touches on in the Great Commission. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Ten Commandments, of course, explain what this means. We are to cast aside all idolatry and respect God's name, something we've forgotten today, which represents his authority and power, as well as respecting his day, which represents his control over history. Then we are to respect our neighbors, giving honor to our parents, who are the earthly picture of God's rule, to respect and love those who are made in his image by not killing them, not committing sexual sins with them, not stealing from them, not bearing false witness against them, and not coveting their possessions. Pretty simple. So how do we know if we're doing this right in the life that we're living today? Well, in short, we need to know our Bibles well and to practice what we learn by faith. Because we should know that God's Word teaches us how we are to grow and mature as young people or young Christians. God's Word teaches us how we are to faithfully serve God, both as single people and married couples. If you are married, God teaches you about the joy and beauty that the world should see through your marriage. God's Word teaches us about the worth and importance of our callings, whether in our homes or in the world. God's Word teaches us about the wisdom of age and respect for our elders. God's Word teaches us about the importance of raising godly children, both as their parents and here at Church of the King as their sponsors. And we do that through instruction and examples. God's Word teaches us about the priority of caring for widows and the poor among us. And God's Word teaches us about the importance of sharing the good news, to be those beautiful feet that bring a message of hope to a needy world. And I do hope and trust that we have learned in these past few weeks how God's Word teaches us to rightly worship our holy triune God. Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks this morning for your word that gives us instruction, guidance, and hope in so many areas, all areas of our lives. And Lord, we ask that as you send us forth this week, we might be those faithful saints who take one step at a time in advancing your kingdom. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let us rise and sing our hymn of response, Lead On, O King Eternal.